Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 387, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. To God my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 387.
congregation, this afternoon we wish to read out of God's holy and precious word that which can be found in the Apostle in the book of John, the 21st chapter, but before that, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 21, the first 14 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, thou who art King of thy church, who dost raise them from the dead, and who gives unto them a new life, a life that hungers and that thirsts after thee, who art the bread and the water of life. Thou knowest each and every one of thine own, for they are they of thy own flock. And thou knowest also what thou desirest of them, for thou hast a place that is laid away for them with thee forever and forever. And thou hast paid their price, and now dost desire that they may enter into thy communion. and then it shall be but a little while, and thou shalt receive thy desire. And now it is a little while, and that they are still here upon the face of this earth. But thou hast come unto thy Father, and thou still dost desire to commune with thy church here below. Thou dost say that they should do this in remembrance of thee, and that thou wilt feed them there with thy own body and with thy own blood. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may remember each and every one of thy own children. For then it is a week of self-examination that we have entered in this day. And thou knowest the desires of thy own. Then it is possible that they do say with thy servant this day, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Then it is possible that their heart that is burning, that they have a desire that they may show forth thy death till thou dost come. Then we ask of thee for the fulfillment thereof. For thou thyself alone dost give those desires after thee, after the communion with thee, that they may beseech thee that thou would speak and that thou would show thyself anew, that thou may so fulfill that which thou dost give within the hearts of thy children. And Lord, that thou may remember also thine own, when that heart that is caught up with so many things that are in this world, for thou knowest that thy children are able to depart from thee, but they are not able to bring themselves back again. And then there is within them so often a warfare. And there are also in this day, and so often in a week of preparation, so many self-accusations and so many questions concerning that work which they had thought that thou hadst begun within them. Then there are accusations of hypocrisy. There are accusations of worldliness and carnality, that they are not actually upright before thee. O Lord, that thou thyself may remember thy own. Wilt thou grant unto them a place before thee in the week that is to come, that we may be enabled a little to set aside the many cares and concerns that are belonging unto this world, but that our hearts may be drawn unto thee with renewed desires after thy presence and after thy communion. Lord, that thou may remember each and every one that is here in this our congregation. For thou knowest the hearts of all, and we cannot miss that blessing that is from above, but thou knowest that we have by nature no desire. And then it is possible also in this afternoon hour that many have come up unto thy house in this afternoon with no thought and with no desire at all. Lord, then it is only that we feel and that we experience something of our deep fall, that we are dead in sins and in trespasses. Oh, that thou wouldst raise us to that new life, For there is such a great difference between death and life. When we are so dead, then we have no desires. And then our thoughts of that life, they are so melancholy. And we have a desire only after the joys and the pleasures which draw us in this time. But oh, when thou wilt give that new life, then we shall see as we have never seen before. And then our heart shall burn as it has never burned before. O Lord, could it please thee so to labor in our midst with the power of thy Holy Spirit? O come in the hearts of both young and old and begin that life that never dies. Wilt thou look upon us also if we are traveling in this world with a heart that is full of self-deceit? For we are fools in and of ourselves, and we would deceive ourselves for that never-ending eternity, except that we are looked upon in mercy from above. Oh, that thou thyself would undeceive us then, and that thou may open our poor blind eyes, even as thou hast opened the eyes of a Saul of Tarsus. Oh, then he thought that he was on the right way, but thou hast shown unto him that he was fighting against thee. O Lord, if that is our case, could it please thee so to open our eyes and to enter into our hearts, and that we may be turned from our deceitful way and given truth and uprightness within, that we die not with a lie in our right hand. Lord, that thou may so look upon young and old in this week to come, that thou may give us truly a desire to examine ourselves, and that thou wouldst examine us and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in that way everlasting. Wilt thou supply for all the needs and the cares which lie upon us in this world? They are coming upon us by thy hand, and it is for thy church a trial and an affliction, and that is meant, that is laid upon them in order to draw away from all that is in this world, and that it may be effectual to the waking up of thy bride from her bed of sloth, and that it may also be effectual for the raising of the dead, that it may not be but just the beginnings of an eternal wretchedness and misery without thee forever and forever. Oh, do bind the seriousness of life upon the heart of each and every one of us, and that we carry within us a soul that is destined for a never, never ending eternity. Oh, that thou wouldst draw us, then we shall truly run after thee, that thou may give to the sick health and strength. Wilt thou give strength unto the weary? Wilt thou dry the tears of those that weep? And wilt thou thyself become a God unto those that are without God in this world? Oh, that thou may supply for all the needy over the length and breadth of the whole world. Be with the children, the young people, those that have have thoughts of this life, that are going to be disappointed, because then in our youth we are looking for this world to fill our empty heart. But that world that is so very, very empty also, O Lord, that thou may give in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. For with thee there is substance that is able to fill us for the time and for eternity. Wilt thou remember parents in the bringing up of our children? Do give us faithfulness and diligence, the fear of thy name. Remember the teachers in our school. Lord, grant thy fear in our classrooms, that it may be evident among us, and that thou may bless the instruction for the temporal, for the eternal welfare of our children, and that thou thyself may show thyself unto our rising generation and those that are educated in their own homes or those that are educated in other places. Those that attend universities, wilt thou remember each and every one. Those that labor in the midst of this world, where there are so many things that do draw our vain hearts, wilt thou build a wall and a fence, and could it please thee to give that burning of the heart, as was in the men that walked unto that way of Emmaus. Lord, that thou may remember us all together as a congregation, as a denomination, all thy servants that bring thy word. Remember the students, the teachers in the theological school, him that brings thy word from week to week. Oh, that thou may be near and dear in a special way unto him, and that he may feel day by day that underneath are thine everlasting arms, and that all together we may receive instruction from heaven, and that we may be able to instruct others. Give more servants into thy vineyard, for the harvest is white and ready. Oh, that thou may send then forth men to labor in that vineyard. Could it please thee also in the weeks that are lying before us, when soon the curatorium hopes to meet, oh, that thou may give men that may come forward, and not in their own strength, but may it be by thy Spirit thrust forth, that we may be also convinced as a curatorium, and that it is thy own work, and that we may be gladdened with thy deeds. Look though upon all those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Remember us in this afternoon. Lord, help us. Strengthen us in the body to bring this thy holy word. Give us clarity in our mind. Wilt thou grant us the unction of thy Holy Spirit? And thou knowest what is necessary for each and every one. Oh, that thou thyself would give a word in our mouth that may be directed unto the heart of this one or of that one, that may be in need even in this afternoon hour, that thou would show the way for the week that is to come, when there are so many questions within. Oh, Lord, do it then. Do it for thy great and thy holy name's sake. And could it please thee that we may be gladdened with thy deeds when thou wouldst be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 210, and the last collection today is for the Synodical Education Committee. beloved congregation next week, the Lord willing. And then we hope to commemorate once again the Lord's Supper in our midst. And therefore, in this day, we begin a week of self-examination. That is a week of preparation for that Lord's Supper. That is, in the first place, the work of each and every one of us. It is a personal work. That is an examination that is not very unlike that examination of our own heart and soul that we need concerning whether or not we are able not only to live, but whether we are able to die. And thus it is a very solemn examination and task that is laid upon each and every one of us. Is this also something that is our custom, our habit, and that we are looking at our own life? That we are considering the fact that we cannot die as we have been born in this world? Or have we hardly such a thought each week as we go closer and closer to enter into our long home? That is not only your work, but it is, of course, in this afternoon also our work. It is the work of your minister. And that is, of course, a very great responsibility, because then we are called by the Lord to take forth the precious from the vile. That is a very difficult thing. And why is that so difficult? Well, because if we think about what a person is doing who is deceiving himself, then such a person is very quick to presume. But then on the other hand, God's children, when it is true within, and they are just the opposite, they are so fearful to presume. And so we can read of Simon Magus that Peter says to him, he says, "I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." But the Lord Jesus said, on the other hand, to his disciples, he said, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" And so now to be able to say both of these in an appropriate way to a whole congregation, then you understand that we need to be led and by the Spirit of the Lord in this most serious matter. Where shall we begin? We should begin, I think, with those things which are the most obvious. And the things which are the most obvious are the things which are outward. You say maybe outward things are outward things, things that matter. Does the Lord not look on the heart? That is an abuse, congregation, of the Word of God. When we say the outward things do not matter because the Lord looks on the heart. Because indeed, in the outward things, they are an evidence of the things that are within. But we have heard of some of these things already in this morning, for which I was very glad that we don't have to spend too much time in this afternoon. But we would just ask one question yet. And that is this: would your neighbor be shocked when he saw you approach unto the table of the Lord? Would he say, that is now a man that is enjoying his life in this world? That is a man that is of the world. And then he lives in the pleasures of the world. Then he goes to the places of the world. He dresses as the world. He's looking and desiring the fashions of the world. Would your neighbor be shocked when you would approach onto the table of the Lord? Then, congregation, then we can be sure that something that is not right. It is one thing if our own heart condemns us for all that we feel that is wrong within. It is another thing if we are rightly condemned by those who are living around about us because of a present wicked life. The Lord's Supper that is holy, the Lord's Supper that is set apart, is that for good, is that for righteous people then? No. No, not at all. But it is for a people whose heart repents of sin. And then a loose walk in this life is not consistent with such a repentance. But we can now leave, I think, these things and go on to that examination of the heart within, which is so very much more difficult. But we wish to try with the help of the Lord out of that which we have read together, John 21, verses 5 and 6. John 21, verses 5 and 6. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So far, the words of our text. Casting the net on the right side of the ship. First, the exhortation to cast. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. Second, the faith by which they cast. They cast, therefore. And third, the experience in this casting. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Casting the net on the right side of the ship. First, the exhortation to cast. Second, the faith by which they cast. And third, the experience in this casting. Why, congregation, have we chosen this text? Well, that is because we feel that it contains a particular point. And that contains a particular point of examination concerning the Holy Supper of the Lord. What is that Holy Supper about? The Lord Jesus himself did say that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. At the center of that table, there are the tokens that are showing forth the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, there must be a certain knowledge of him in order for a right attendance at that supper, because he does command his church to do this in remembrance of me. But with these words, when we would leave it at this, then we would chase away very many of God's true children that would say the knowledge of Christ that is now something that is so high, that is something to which I'm afraid I have never attained. What do I know of Christ? And yet Christ himself says that I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. He says that he is that his sheep hear his voice, and that he knows them, and that his sheep do indeed follow him. We read here in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. The disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John. He says, it is the Lord. He recognized who that was. How did John know that it was the Lord? Well, that was by his works. That was by that miracle that he has performed. Do you also desire to be able to say, it is the Lord, also in my own life? We read the first verse. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. On this wise, that is, he showed himself in a very particular, a very peculiar, a very special way. And we have a detailed explanation how that the Lord has shown himself unto his disciples, and how that his disciples have recognized who that he was. Many will deny that he shows himself in this special way. They will make that grace to be common, but we fear that they shall also experience that common condemnation because they are involved in a common self-deceit. The Lord Jesus, he is a hidden person. And he must show himself. Ask God's children. The disciples, they would agree with this. Ask Solomon. Read the Song of Solomon. So the Apostle Paul says that he was not taught it, but by the revelation, he says, of Jesus Christ. Thus, what do we know of Christ showing himself, revealing himself, opening up that word unto our heart? Cast the net on the right side of the ship. That is now the exhortation of Christ to his disciples. When? While he remained hidden. While he remained to his disciples a stranger. While he kept himself behind the veil. Did you ever hear this exhortation of Christ? It is the exhortation of the gospel message. Cast the net. What does Christ say when he says, cast the net? Well, in the first place, he says, ask, seek, knock. Because that asking and that seeking and that knocking is just as a casting of that net. Because when you will ask, when you will go on your knees, then you do not know yet what you will receive when you come on your knees. And when you come up to the house of the Lord with a cry, with a desire, with a longing in your heart, then you know not yet what you are going to receive in that house of the Lord. And when you open that holy book and you begin to read, then you do not know yet what you are going to receive between that moment and the moment that you close that holy book once again. God is sovereign. God is so free. God is so able to give and also to withhold. But he says, cast that net. He says, be in the use of those means. But now there is more. Because that message of that gospel, that is to cast that net, and that is speaking about, in a special way, the exercise of faith. Not merely historical faith. Not merely a temporary faith, but the exercise of true saving faith. Cast the net. Faith that is the hand that is receiving what God Himself is giving. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to receive the salvation of God. Thus, faith, true faith, casts the net. True faith that goes out. True faith is seeking that blessing that is freely given from the side of the Lord, that it may catch that blessing, that it may possess that blessing, that that blessing may become mine. True faith, saving faith, that is appropriating that gift of God. Cast the net. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. That is the very peculiar exhortation, the very special exhortation of that gospel message that is setting apart the truth from every false religion that is in this world and every carnal religion that is living within our heart. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. What is now the right side of the ship? Well, that is the side of that ship that the disciples were not casting on. That is the very opposite side that those disciples were fishing on. So they are commanded. They are commanded to fish, to cast that net on that opposite side. Why? Because when man, he is fishing, when man, he is seeking for spiritual blessings, then he is always doing that on the same side. That is, even in that new birth, when he begins to seek, he is always doing that on that one side, and that is on that side of a broken covenant. that is now the only side that man knows how to fish on. That is the only way that man knows, because it is a covenant in which he is born. It is a covenant made with our father Adam. And we ourselves are born in it, so much so that our very nature is ingrained in that old covenant. And when the Spirit is giving life in the soul of a man, then that soul is going to work. Why? Because the gospel sends him to work? No. But because that gospel has never been revealed to him, because it has never been shown to him. Yes, he has heard it with his ears, but he has never received it from the Lord in his heart. Thus, he does not know that gospel. How earnestly he would fulfill that whole law of God in order that he may receive the favor of the Lord. Is that your life? Every jot and tittle of that law, in order that the Lord would no longer be angry with me, that I may hear from heaven, that I may also rejoice in the gladness of the nation, of the people of the Lord, the desire that is living, that is burning in the heart of that young church. And then seeking and then fishing always on that one side. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. That gospel that is exhorting the casting of that net on the side that a laboring man is never casting on. That is on the side of a grace that is so, so completely free. Christ, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. That is rest from what? That is rest from all your labors. Why? Because the labors, they are finished already. Because those labors, they have been accomplished by myself. But this is that which is so hidden in Christ. And therefore, when we say that Christ is hidden, we don't mean that just the person is hidden, but we mean that the way of salvation is hidden. We mean that grace is hidden. The freeness of it is hidden. So that people, they are laboring in that broken covenant. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Thus, there is a promise, and ye shall find. And that promise that is inseparably bound to this exhortation of Christ to cast that net on the right side of the ship. And then he binds a promise with it. Why? Well, that is with the intention to secure the obedience of that people, that they will go ahead, that they will indeed cast that net on that right side of the ship. Why? Well, find that is what is living in their heart. Or if only that I may find, then their heart is seeking after him. Then there is a longing to find him. And now Christ, he speaks just about this, about finding. And thus the Lord, he joins that promise unto that exhortation. Why? That he may draw that people, that they may obey him in that exhortation. We see in our second thought, the faith by which they cast. What do we read? We read, they cast, therefore. That is something. Why is that something? Well, because they did not know this man. Because this man is to them a complete stranger. And not only do they not know this man, but they have been fishing already. They have been fishing all the night. And they have been so discouraged in that fishing time and again. They have come up with nothing. And yet we read, they cast therefore. And now our question is this. How did they cast? How did they cast? What was now in a natural way living in the hearts of these disciples when they cast this net? How strongly do you think that these disciples really believed that when they would cast on this right side of the ship, that they certainly now were going to find? After that they had fished all the night in these waters and they had come up with nothing. How strong do you think that they have really believed they were going to find something? Do you think that we can even call it faith? That they believe now? That indeed they were going to find. Living in the heart of these disciples, we read, they cast, therefore. How did they cast? Well, then they cast with a who can tell? Who can tell? Why did they cast? Or they cast purely on the exhortation that was presented to them. They cast upon the invitation to cast. They cast why? They cast because they were at their wit's end. And they cast because that desire to find that was not extinguished, that desire to find that was still living, it was still burning within their heart. Their natural instinct that says, well, that is no use. But there is in that moment, there is a secret power. There is a secret power that is drawing them. By this exhortation and the simplicity of this exhortation, while they are still in their need, while they are still in their desire. My father had the prophet bid thee do some hard thing, great thing. Wouldst thou not have done it? How much more when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. They cast their. You see that net, it goes over that right side of the ship. And what now goes over that right side of the ship with that net? All the experience of these men. All the fishermen's knowledge of these men. It is all done. It has all come to an end. All their own skill that has gone overboard. They cast. They cast in their simplicity. They cast in their meekness. They cast in a way just of pure obedience. They cast in their poverty. After all their own efforts have failed, they cast, therefore. Are there those now in our midst who are not a stranger? In a spiritual way of this moment in your life is our question of this moment in your life. Of such a casting. Because if those that would find God will cast, then they must cast on that right side of the ship, shall they ever find Him. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. That is an exhortation, congregation, that comes to each and every one of us. And there are those that think that they have cast and that are also mistaken about this. Mistaken about it. Claim to have cast. Say, how can I know this? Whether I have cast aright? Well, our fathers say, you must look at the fruits. What is it that went before? What is it that followed after? But let us sing first. 415 verse 4. 415 stanza 4. Good and upright is Jehovah. In His dealings evermore, sinners are by Him instructed in the way untrod before. The fourth stanza of Psalter 415.
Thank you.
children, have ye any meat? No. Cast the net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore. Thus, who does that? Who does that? Who casts in such a way? Because we need to know what it means. Otherwise, we will deceive ourselves in congregation. We desire to exclude no one. No one. But we would that the Lord would include everyone. Then it needs to be in a right way. Otherwise, we die with a lie in our right hand. They cast therefore. Who actually does that? Do fishermen do that who have come back with the product of all their labors lying there in their fishing vessel? After they have labored in the night and that boat that is weighed down with the weight of all their spoil? You understand that such fishermen, they will know absolutely nothing of this casting that we may read of in our text. Does the Arminian cast in such a way? When he receives everything by that faith which he says is common unto all men by the common operation of the Spirit of the Lord? Do such know anything of casting in such a way on that right side of the ship? Then you understand they know nothing of this. The exhortation of Christ, he says, come unto me, that is directed to those who labor and are heavy laden. See, that goes out to the whole congregation. Absolutely. But it is directed. There is only one people that may actually hear their name, that is those to whom that it is directed. They labor. They are heavy laden. These hear that invitation. Come unto me. That is a people who are at the end of their labors. That is a people for whom all that labor that is has been cut off. And the Lord Jesus is expressly driving this home unto the souls of that people. He asked them a question. Children, have ye any meat? They answer him, no. They have to answer. That is a short answer. It is the answer of reality. Is that an easy answer? It is no easy answer. Why? Because it is an admission. It is a confession. No. No meat. That means after we have been busy all the night, that we have nothing. Why did the Lord Jesus ask them that question? That they have to give an answer to that difficult question. Did he not know the answer? Sure, he knew the answer. But he makes them give an answer. That they have to acknowledge that there is nothing left from their own side anymore. Paul, he says, the law that is weak through the flesh. That is nice, it is written in the Bible. But is it written in our heart? How can we give that right answer? No. How can we learn the weakness of our flesh? That is only by all night laboring and catching nothing. Peter was naked. That is, the outer garments, they have come off. Why? That is speaking about a hard labor. And when the Lord, He is watching over everything, in that hidden way, it is the Lord Himself, as the director of the heavens and of the earth, that is purposely keeping every single fish out of the net of the people. Your net too? That people, they cannot bring themselves one step closer to God, though they have a desire for it. With all their attempts, there is no catching anything. Only a learning that within me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Why? Because by the law, that is the knowledge of sin. How do such people come back to the shore? They come empty. They come with nothing. They come weary. They come heavy laden. Have they no desire anymore? Sure they do. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. It is not that the desire is gone, no, but the hope is gone. The expectation is gone. The strength is gone. The wisdom is gone. Everything is gone. Everything from my own sight. So that the people, they see no way anymore. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Who says it? That is Jesus. What kind of Jesus? A hidden Jesus. They do not know Him. But now it is in their poverty. It is in their despair. It is in their desire. It is in their need that He is drawing them with a secret power in the word of that invitation that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. They cast, therefore, they cast by that same secret power, the soul perceiving in that moment, the soul perceiving that invitation, that exhortation that is going out exactly to persons such as I am. All the fetters, they are dropping off of that proposal of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may hearken unto Him. Faith that goes out to Him, they cannot hold it back anymore. It goes out in its poverty. It goes out in its need. It goes out in its simplicity. It casts a secret casting, a secret looking unto Him, casting on the other side of that ship, or where they have never cast before in their whole life. A new experience. A new experience in their poverty, casting congregation in the waters of free, sovereign grace, where they have never labored before in their whole life. Was that always there, those waters? Always there. They were just on the other side of the ship, but they had never cast in them. They cast, therefore, for the first time in their life, saying, well, who can tell, because there is no way from my own sight. And what is now their experience? They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Oh, my friends, free grace, that is by the revelation of God to that needy soul, suddenly, in one moment. And then it is such a great surprise. Such a surprise. Though I knew that doctrine all my life long, I was taught it from my father and from my mother in catechism classes. And now the eyes, they go open. The Lord opening the eyes of the poor, that they may find as they have never found before. We read of a man in the Bible, the Lord Jesus says. He says that is like a man. He has found a treasure in a field. All of a sudden, oh, that field that became such a great worth to him. And now the Lord, he shows what a great abundance all of a sudden is received by that people. Those disciples, they cannot even draw that net anymore. All of a sudden, there is so much when before they had absolutely nothing. And that is now the way it is in the life of that people. Oh, we sing it sometimes. His grace that is wide as the ocean. And then their eyes go open, the eyes of their understanding that is enlightened. Then they may see that it is without money. They see that it is without price. Of Canaan, the Lord, he said to that people, he says, you shall receive a land that you did not labor for. Not at all. Then it becomes such a wonder in the life of that people that old things are passed away and everything becomes new. Oh, that whole Bible becomes new. Like they have never read that Bible before in their life. They cast, therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Oh, how precious does that Christ become in that moment to that people. Who with desires and laying in their poverty in all of their need. When he is showing himself unto them. Oh, then they see, he is the one I need. He is the one that is so exactly fit for such a one as I am. For the first time in their life, oh, they can show, they read that Song of Solomon. And then the tears, they are coming down out of their eyes. And when they may read that he is white and ruddy, he is the chiefest among 10,000, then they have to say yes. Yes, I have gone so many times to the house of the Lord. And I wanted to hear my name over and over and over because that felt so good. But, oh, now could I only hear that name. That one name of the Lord Jesus. Then he becomes so... What happened? We read John. He says, it is the Lord. He says. And then Peter, he does what? He, as soon as he heard that, that it was the Lord, then we read that Peter, he puts on his outer garment once again, and he jumps into that water. Why? Well, because there is none that is so precious when he will open our eyes, and then our heart that is drawn to him. Then when we see him for the first time in our life as he who is able to take away that breach between God and my soul, then we will begin to seek after that blessed Son of God, which we have never known and never sought in our whole life. Drawn to him, seeking communion with him, they cast therefore. Congregation, next week, the Lord's Supper. We cannot be an absolute stranger of this. We cannot. I know. Then it seems so high to some to say that I know him. A congregation, the smallest glance, in such a way, for just one moment, that your eyes, in all your need and in all your poverty, were opened to see just the smallest part of that grace of God. You do not dare call it faith. No, what was it? Was it faith? It was so short. It was just a moment. It didn't last. I don't have it today. We don't ask what you possess. We don't ask what you possess. Why? Because the church of God that becomes in themselves poorer and poorer, but the Lord says they are rich. But, or was it ever your wretchedness? Was it ever your greatest misery that you were without God in this world? Could you not go on? Could you not live in such a way? And did it ever become impossible? So impossible from your own sight that you could return unto Him, that the Lord would be pleased with you? Was that way ever cut off? Did you ever see a gulf? Did you ever see a mountain? Did you ever see a wall that you could not go over? That you had to despair of everything from your own sight? Did the Lord ever open to you, even for a moment, out of His Word? You say a revelation. What is that? No, that is not that the Lord is appearing. No. But it is also not just a common reading. It is also not just, well, then we begin to understand with our mind. No. But it is now in the need that the Lord, in that need, in that impossibility, the Lord is opening. The Lord is opening. And the Lord is giving you to see something that you could not see with your own eyes. Oh, did your heart ever leap for joy at the freeness of the grace of God? Though you still missed it, or you desired to possess it, and did that lead your heart out to Him, draw you to Him, so that you began to seek Him for the first time in your life? Congregation, such a people, He says, do this in remembrance of Me. Why? Because you are they that are able to remember Him. You do not have Him, maybe. You do not possess Him. But you say, I do remember. It was the 10th hour, and I saw Him. I saw His work. I saw grace. Oh, grace. Grace over against work. And in that hour, it became so possible for me, for whom it had been so impossible. Oh, then do show forth His death in the coming Sabbath day. With that desire, saying, O Lord, may I see Thee again. Oh, could I have that sight again. that grace that is wide as the ocean. Speak unto my soul and say unto me, I am thy salvation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth. We have tried a little to explain it, but Lord, thou art able to bring it in our hearts. Take away all that was amiss, and wilt thou explain it, Lord. And thou can open it in a moment. Thou can do it for the first time, and thou can do it by renewal. Remember us. Remember us in this week. Oh, that we would not be so carnal, that we would not be so worldly, that our treasure might be in heaven, where thou art and where that there is substance. Forgive our many sins, and wilt thou go with us in all our ways. Be with those that travel in this week, and thou knowest where that they are, and wilt thou bring them safely to their places, and wilt thou supply in all the needs of fathers, mothers, children at the school. Keep us on every side. Give us a longing, a desire for thy holy day next Sabbath, and thy children also what is necessary, those who are thine, in the way of self-examination. And wilt thou help us too to prepare also for this? Prepare thou us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 111, 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 111. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.